Linda doesn't either.
Pete, just a little bit about the Marine Resources Commission. While we are not a court of law, we are a quasi-judicial body, which means decisions made by the Marine Resources Commission are appealable to the circuit court. What will happen today is Mr. Owen will give a presentation followed by other individuals that wish to speak in support of the project. After that occurs, those individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the project will be heard. The schedule will go like this. We will have public hearing from now until around 4:30 p.m., at which time we will break for dinner. The dinner break will be between 4:30 and 6 p.m. After 6 p.m. or at 6 p.m. promptly, we will return to hear any further comment that may be made. We will, at that point, gauge how many people are remaining that wish to speak. And after the last speaker, after the dinner break, we will adjourn the meeting until the regularly scheduled meeting on March 27th. There will be no decision made today. The decision will be made at the March 27th meeting. What will occur at that meeting is the commission will allow the applicant 15 minutes to sum up any comments or provide any comments that he or she may have. The opposition will be provided 15 minutes to make any comments they wish to make, and then the applicant will be allowed 2 minutes to rebut, at which time the matter will then be heard by the members of the commission that are present here today. Let the record reflect that we do have a quorum. We have five individuals here, members of the commission, associate members. And just for the record, since y'all don't make it to Newport News very often, I'm Commissioner Steve Bowman. And I'm not sure what the image looks like, but to my, would be my right-hand side is Associate Member Wayne McCluskey, Associate Member Ernie Bowden. I have to my left, counsel for the commission, which is Fred Fisher from the Attorney General's Office. I have Associate Commissioner J.T. Holland and Associate Commissioner John McConaughey. I think that covers pretty much everything. So with that, Mr. Owen, if you'll proceed.
Yes, sir. Mr. Bowman, members of the commission, good citizens of Southwest Virginia, welcome to today's video conference public hearing being conducted between the campuses of Southwest Virginia Community College here in Richland, Virginia, and Thomas Nelson Community College in Hampton, Virginia. Before I get into my briefing, I just wanted to say thank you to a couple of people who have helped us with today's conference. Here on this end, Ken Fairbanks, Joe McGee, and Tom Cash, and Thurman London and Roy Berger on the TNCC. And with that said, one other item, I do have a sign-in sheet, which everyone seems to have signed in on this morning or this afternoon. We will call Commissioner Bowman will be conducting the hearing, and we'll call you up, I assume, Commissioner, from the sign-in sheet. If someone wants to speak ahead of the other, I think that'll be up to him to accommodate you. So having said that, I'll get right into the staff briefing.
Randy, whatever makes it logistically simpler would be fine with me, but I would like to, as we always do, try to take those in support first, those in opposition second, if possible.
Understood.
Thank you.
Consol Virginia Coal Company seeks authorization to construct a diffuser outfall to facilitate the discharge of mine water from its Buchanan Mine Number 1 into the Lavaza Fork in Buchanan County. The project is protested by the Buchanan County Board of Supervisors, the Town of Grundy, the Sierra Club, and nearby residents. The project is located approximately 12 miles upstream from the Virginia-Kentucky line in the town of Grundy in Buchanan County. Buchanan County is highlighted in the slide in red. For the benefit of the commissioners, Grundy is approximately a 2.5 to 3 hour drive west of Virginia Tech. This is a map provided by Google, which gives you another idea of the project's location relative to the surrounding states. I've included this map to show you the location of the campus here in Richland, some 45 minutes southeast of the town of Grundy. The project itself will be constructed from the southern bank of the Lavaza Fork within the town limits of Grundy, approximately a half a mile downstream from the Buchanan County Courthouse. This aerial, which is provided by Google as well, shows you the Leviathan as it flows westward through Grundy, through the mountainous terrain, and on to the Virginia-Kentucky line, again, some 12 miles downstream. And a final map, which depicts the location of Buchanan Mine Number 1, the active mine down in this area, some 15 miles southeast of the proposed outfall location in Grundy. Historically, the water from this mine, again, it's the active mine, has been either discharged into the headwaters of the Leviathan Fork and or pumped and stored in abandoned mines in the adjacent area. Two of those mines are identified here as VP1 and VP3. Because of limited amount of storage, CONSOL has advised that they now need to discharge the water into the Leviathan, continue mining operations in Buchanan Mine Number 1, which is the largest active coal mine in Virginia. Under the existing operations, the water is pumped from the active mine to the abandoned mines. The photograph in the upper right shows you the line that exits the active mine, and there it's pumped over to VP1 or VP3. The current proposal before you would calls for pumping it out of VP3, which is photographed in the upper right, to a storage tank on the adjacent mountainside and then released by a gravity line to Grundy. The majority of the pipeline in the upland portion of the project has already been installed. Here you see it coming down along the Norfolk Southern right-of-way. I believe that's a 24-inch line, Gerald. And then again, at a point approximately 1/2 mile downstream from the Buchanan County Courthouse, the line has already been bored beneath the railroad track, and you can see the pipe sections laying off to the right here that they would use to install the line down into the Leviathan should they gain all final permit approvals. The Leviathan is down in this area here. This is the project drawing showing you the line paralleling the railroad tracks, coming down beneath the tracks, and then it would enter Leviathan Fork to that midstream. You can see Route 460 on the northern adjacent stream bank. This is the cross section. The line would, the tracks would be up here, the railroad tracks. The line would be buried below grade, including its point within the Leviathan. This is a photograph of the actual stainless steel diffuser, which is currently being stored at the VP3 mine. It's a 24-inch diameter header pipe with 4 8-inch diameter diffusers. The plans call for excavating a trench into the bedrock of the stream. The header pipe would be set down in that trench and then backfilled with concrete, such that only the diffuser pipes themselves would be above stream grade. They would be underwater, but they would be, you know, only this portion of it would be above the stream bottom. Each diffuser would have a concrete bollard set behind it to protect it from debris being swept from downstream. This is a photograph of the Leviathan, where the line would be installed. It would come down the bank here and into the river. It's approximately 2 foot deep during normal flow conditions, some 60 to 70 feet in width at this location. The Leviathan Fork watershed in the project vicinity is considered by the Department of Environmental Quality to be impaired for bacteria, aquatic life use, PCB contamination, and fish and chlorides. The need to meet the state's in-stream standards for chlorides and the lack of storage has prompted CONSOL to seek regulatory authorization for the project. Permits are required from the Departments of Mines, Minerals, Energy, Division of Mine Land Reclamation, DEQ, BMRC, and the Corps of Engineers. The Code of Virginia specifies that DMLR is a responsible agency for reviewing and issuing the VPDES permit for all coal mining related discharges. In August of 2005, CONSOL submitted its request for the outfall to DMLR. After reviewing the request, they held an informal conference in May of 2006. The attendees were allowed to put questions and comments, concerns on the record. DMLR responded to those in writing prior to reaching its permit decision. On September 15, 2006, DMME approved CONSOL's permit revision application to modify its existing coal mining permit to include the Lavazza Fork outfall. That decision has been appealed by several parties. The administrative formal hearing, originally scheduled to be heard this week, has been postponed until later in the spring. The hearing officer assigned to that will reach his decision, which will then be reviewed by the director of DMME. His or her decision may be appealed to circuit court. The Department of Environmental Quality issued its general permit on September 26 of 06. The Corps of Engineers issued their permit on November 1st of 05. CONSOL lacks only the BMRC permit to construct and operate this diffuser. As proposed, commission authorization is required pursuant to Title 28-2, Chapter 12 of the Code of Virginia. It is imperative to note and that the public understand that the commission's jurisdiction of this project is limited to the physical encroachment of the outfall over the state-owned submerged lands within the Lavazza Fork, and that the commission is not empowered to regulate the effluent proper. In other words, the commission has to reach its permit decision on the placement of the pipe in the river and determine what impact that placement has on existing aquatic resources. What comes out of the pipe and how the discharge affects the aquatic resources and the water quality of the river is determined by DMLR and DEQ's permit and not this commission's. The project is protested, as we said, by the groups listed here. Additionally, the Commonwealth of Kentucky has reportedly expressed their concern to EPA because of the project's potential adverse impacts to that portion of the public drinking water supply obtained from the Lavazza. Buchanan County Board of Supervisors in the town of Grundy in December of 05 adopted resolutions in opposition to the project. In their resolutions, they request that the applicant be required to treat the effluent to remove the chlorides and other dissolved solids prior to discharge. They conclude that if untreated, the discharge will pose a threat to the health of the river, the health, safety, and welfare of its citizens, and impair future development in Buchanan County. In light of the public health and aquatic life concerns raised by the protestants, staff requested clarification of DEQ's position on this project in the September 06 letter. In response, DEQ has advised that they reviewed the project and have no objections to the authorization of the discharge. In their response, they added that they, in reviewing the proposal, they provided written comments to DMLR, which focused on the need to increase the permit controls to ensure that the state's water quality standards would be met. The Department of Game and Inland Fisheries and the Department of Conservation and Recommendation both have recommended an in-stream work time of year restriction of March 15 through July 31 to protect the spawning period of the state endangered variegated darter. The project has additionally been reviewed by the Environmental Protection Agency and the Office of Surface Mining. Both have provided written concurrence for the project in support of the issuance of the VPDS permit. Commissioner Bowman, that concludes the staff briefing. I will try to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions from the commission for Mr. Owen? There don't appear to be at this point, Randy. Job well done. We'll open the public hearing at this time.
Commissioner Bowman?
Yes.
I believe CONSOL is ready to present a PowerPoint presentation, and then after that we would switch the speaker mode to where you'd be seeing the podium.
Okay, that would be fine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Bowman, Associate Commissioners, my name is Brian Beneva. I'm an attorney. attorney with LeClaire Ryan, a law firm in Richmond and Roanoke and Blacksburg and other places throughout Virginia. And it's our privilege to represent Consol in this application. My main purpose here is to offer for the record a copy of the PowerPoint presentation that Dr. Jim Roberts is about to give, who is a consultant for Consol and has worked tirelessly on putting together all these applications and several of the agency approvals or comments that have been received. No less than 7 agencies of the Commonwealth or the federal government have reviewed this project and issued either approval or concurrence, depending upon whether they were required to issue a permit or to simply comments representing their concurrence. The Marine Resources Commission is the last agency whose approval is necessary in order to proceed with this project, and of course we hope at the conclusion of your March 27th meeting it will be your pleasure to do so. I'd like to take an opportunity to introduce Dr. James Roberts. Dr. Roberts is one of the founders and the past chairman, president, chief cook, and bottle washer of Civil and Environmental Consultants, Inc., a company that now has approximately 450 employees in six states. Dr. Roberts is a professional engineer licensed in half of the states of the United States, 25 states. He has been the project principal in charge of all aspects of this project. His work has been supported by Dr. James Mudge, and I'm submitting their resumes for the record, who is an aquatic biologist with approximately 40 years' experience, who is deeply involved in the water quality aspects of this, particularly the impacts on creating the mixing zone and the impacts upon, or lack thereof, I should say, on the Varegan darter, as the only aquatic life that was mentioned on the potential, on the state's endangered species list. With that, I'd like to introduce Dr.
Good afternoon, Commissioners.
Good afternoon, Doctor. Before you go any further, I'm going to have to swear you in, if that would be okay. And I also need to see you before you switch it over to PowerPoint mode. Could you raise your right hand? You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you. Good to have you here. Proceed, please.
On the computer. All right. Let me begin by saying Randy has utilized some of the same slides, so I think that will expedite some of my brief presentation today. If I go immediately to the first slide, this is the information that Council has just provided to you. First thing that I'd like to do is to provide a very brief project overview. It starts with the source of water going into the Buchanan mine. It is natural groundwater that's flowing into the mine. Currently estimated at rates of about 1,500 to 1,600 gallons per minute, increasing to about 3,000 gallons per minute over the next 15 to 17 years. The mine water must be removed from the Buchanan number one mine, or the mine will flood and the mine would have to be abandoned. The parameter of concern in the mine water is chloride, specifically sodium chloride. The sodium and the chloride is coming from groundwater moving through overburden that is laden with salt placed in geologic time. Currently, the Beatrice mine and the BP number one mine are filled with mine water. Some of it occurring naturally in Beatrice mine, in the BP1 mine, some of it being pumped from the Buchanan mine. Consol's plans are to store additional water from the Buchanan mine in BP3 and has received permits for a controlled discharge into the Levisa Fork using a complete mixing zone related to chlorides. All of the mines that we're talking about today are mines that are located 1,000 feet or more below stream level in Buchanan County. The discharge location, including the diffuser, is downstream of the town of Grundy, near the smaller town of Poetown. Modeling that has been performed by our firm shows that the diffuser usage is critical to controlling the location and width of the mixing zone. Similar, this is the map that Randy showed you earlier. Let me go back. This is the active Buchanan mine. This is future mining acreage over in here. Water is pumped along the NNS tracks all the way down past the VP1, currently down to the VP3 mine, and that's the photograph that Randy provided for you. The project significance is considerable. The Buchanan mine is the largest coal mine operating in the state of Virginia. The direct employee count at the mining operation is 443 people. The Buchanan mine payroll in 2005 was $29,900,000. This mine is projected to have a life of 17 years at the time that this slide was put together, which was 2 years ago. That 17-year life is $508 million. If we use a ratio of indirect jobs to direct jobs of four, there were 1,772 indirect jobs at risk with this project. The indirect jobs plus direct jobs total over 2,200 jobs. If we look at the revenue that's coming from the Buchanan mine over the 17-year period, it's estimated at $7.2 billion. That's based on the reserves that have been proven at the location of the mine and a conservative estimate of the average price per ton of $60 per ton. Needless to say, there is significant state and local tax revenues associated with these jobs and with the value of the coal that's being mined. As part of the permit application to you, we presented five different alternatives. Two of them are viewed as the most feasible of the two. They are reverse osmosis treatment and discharge to Leviathan Fork as requested by the permit application. We would note that treating with reverse osmosis or electrodialysis is a fairly complex treatment operation. We found it to be very expensive, in our view, prohibitively expensive, considering the initial capital cost of about $20 million, and especially the operating costs in excess of $5 million per year. Over the 17-year life of using reverse osmosis, it was estimated that the cost would be $105 million. At the same time, project personnel, that is our firm and the expertise that exists within Consolidation Coal Company, believe that a sophisticated reverse osmosis treatment was potentially not reliable due to the nature of the mine water, and because the mine pump discharges were intermittent. The mine does not always pump water. It has to rise at mine level before it becomes a issue. So the mine pump discharge would be a start and stop operation, which would be difficult to handle with reverse osmosis. Accordingly, storage at VP1 and VP3, and then using VP3 as temporary storage, along with the mixing zone discharge at Poetown, was the selected alternative. As pointed out by Randy, the Virginia NPDES permit is in place. The responsibility for issuing those permits in the coal fields of Southwest Virginia has been delegated to Virginia DMME, the Division of Mine Land Reclamation, and this was delegated to them by US EPA and Virginia DEQ. Virginia DMLR has issued this permit for the project. including establishing the requirements of the permit itself. Virginia DEQ provided consultation to Virginia DMLR on water quality issues, water quality standards, the Cornell mixing model, which is the core mix modeling, anti-degradation requirements, the interpretation and results of biological monitoring, and the mixing zone requirements. Virginia DEQ authorized in writing the waiver requirements needed for the complete mixing zone and the use of the diffuser. At the same time, Virginia DEQ issued the joint permit for the project. Virginia DEQ and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers both reviewed project plans, including diffuser construction requirements, and they mutually concluded that Virginia DEQ should be the lead agency on the joint permit. Virginia DEQ has issued a Virginia WP4 permit for the project. Virginia DEQ reviewed the core mix modeling results and concluded a mixing zone discharge with a multi-port diffuser meets Virginia regulations. Quick overview of the nature of the Buchanan Mine water quality. As pointed out earlier, it is high in chlorides and sodium or salt. It has high conductivity and TDS due to the chlorides and sodium. The mine water is about one quarter as salty as ocean water. It has a neutral pH. It has low levels of iron, requiring simple treatment, and this is a requirement of the permit. The mine water is colorless based on lab tests. The mine water is odorless. To get a sense of how the mixing zone works overall, the mine water is to be mixed with Leviso fork water at a ratio of approximately 35 parts Leviso fork water and one part mine water. So we would have ocean water diluted 4-1 and then 35-1 Leviso fork to one part mine water. The selection of the Grundy Pool for the diffuser site was an important part of the project. CEC performed microinvertebrate sampling, habitat assessments, and fishery samplings at four locations, three riffles and one pool. One of the riffles was downstream of the pool location. The sampling was done two times in the winter and then in the fall of 2003. Also, we performed water quality and flow measurements 16 times at each of these four locations. During the winter and fall sampling events, 54 state endangered variegate darters were collected at four sampling locations during 2003. One specimen was collected in the Grundy Pool during the winter and none at this location in the fall. Literature review indicated that the variegate darter prefers a riffle environment, and that is what was also found by our field work. The Grundy Pool was selected as the discharge location because of the lower potential impact to the variegate darter, generally because of its general absence in the pool, the suboptimal habitat quality of the pool, the lower number of fish and EPT taxa compared to other locations, and more mixing capacity in the pool compared to two of the other three locations evaluated. Further, the diffuser site was selected so that it could not be seen from the town of Grundy, and specifically the new bridge in the town of Grundy, and it can also not be seen from cars traveling on U.S. Route 460. This is the variegate garter, as shown earlier. This is the result of our field investigations. This is the Grundy Pool location. The location of the diffuser is approximately in the middle third of the river at this location right here. Here's a general description of how this discharge system works. Mine water is stored in deep mines, either Buchanan or BP3. and is pumped through an iron treatment system to a storage tank. We would note that the water level in VP3 is such that a water sample cannot currently be obtained. We have a permit requirement that requires us to obtain and test that sample and to submit those results to Virginia DMLR prior to any discharge of water from VP3. Chloride monitors continuously report to a computer system the chloride concentrations in the storage tank up on the hill and in Leviosa Fork upstream and downstream of the diffuser location. Leviosa Fork flow rates are measured continuously, and additional chloride loading is calculated by computers based on the flow rate in Leviosa Fork and the current chloride level in Leviosa Fork prior to additional loading. The available mine water discharge is computed. Control valves are open to release water from the storage tank at a controlled rate. Mine water flows through the diffuser to create a mixing zone of the proper dimensions. The chloride levels in Leviosa Fork are continuously monitored downstream of the mixing zone as required by the permit. Relative to the issue raised in with respect to Kentucky, I've provided some additional data on this slide, noting that the permitted level, that is the level required by the permit issued by Virginia DMLR, is set at 223 milligrams per liter. The Virginia water quality standard is 230. We would note that the water quality standard for the state of Kentucky is 600 milligrams per liter. We have done modeling that demonstrates that when this water that we would be releasing into the mixing zone reaches the Kentucky state line, that the water quality with respect to chloride would be at about 165 milligrams per liter. We would further note that public water supply, this is water supplied to individuals with public water supply systems, that there is a secondary standard for chloride. It is 250 milligrams per liter. With respect to safeguards on unplanned discharges and the protection of aquatic life, there are a number of features of the system that are in place to deal with unplanned discharges. First, discharges cannot be initiated and can only occur when all control monitors are properly recording. Pipeline valves remain closed until all monitors report and close automatically if monitors stop reporting. The storage tank above VP3 automatically is piped so that it automatically overflows to the Virginia Pocahontas No. 3 mine. Overflows can occur when the fixed mine pump rate exceeds the amount of mine water allowed to go into Leviosa Fork. So the overflows to the storage tank are controlled and automatically go into the VP3 mine. Discharge pipe flow rates are measured continuously and computer matched with calculated discharge rates or the valves automatically close. Upstream and downstream flow monitors are in place in each pipe segment and must agree or the system automatically shuts down. Purpose of this is if there is any difference in the two flow rates suggesting a leakage in the pipe, the system automatically shuts down. The mine water, as shown by Randy, is pumped through non-corroding, thick-walled HDPE pipe. This HDPE pipe is encased in steel pipe at bridge crossings and in railroad fill areas. As a further protection to aquatic life, during low flows in Leviosa Fork, which is about 26% of the time, 26% of the year, no mine water will be allowed to discharge from this project. This would provide additional protection to aquatic life and specifically the Varicate Darter, and this is a permit requirement. The Virginia NPDES permit requires extensive biological monitoring, both of the results of field work and of laboratory studies, and reporting to Virginia DMLR. Relative to the diffuser design, Randy has shown it consists of a 24-inch pipe, 24 inches in diameter, placed in a concrete trench at the bottom of Leviosa Fork, such that the top of the concrete is flush with the bottom of Leviosa Fork. There is no additional fill being placed in this construction project. The manifolds are equipped with four evenly spaced 8-inch diameter discharge points. Each port extends approximately 1.4 feet above the manifold and consists of a 90-degree elbow position with the discharge pointed downstream. The center of the manifold is to be positioned approximately 29 feet from the near south shore and 50 feet from the far north shore. Bypass distances are part of the requirements for protecting the aquatic environment. Bypass distances are shown to be the distance between the shoreline and the closest port. Relative to the south shoreline, the bypass distance is 18 feet. On the north shoreline, it is 39 feet. Each port's to be protected by a steel pipe bollard located immediately upstream. Relative to erosion and sedimentation control measures, important feature is the installation of aqua barriers to allow or to facilitate the construction of the discharge structure in the dry. With respect to other agency review, we made requests to identify threatened and endangered species to Virginia Department of Game and Inland Fisheries, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the Virginia Department of Conservation and Recreation. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Virginia Department of Conservation and Recreation indicated no species were under their jurisdiction that could be impacted. The Virginia Department of Game and Inland Fisheries proposed that no in-stream work would be performed from March 15th through July 31st to minimize impacts to aquatic life, and again, specifically the variet garter. This is a condition of the Virginia NPDES permit. This is the view that Randy showed earlier. We would note that the pipe is entirely covered, that the top of the pipe at the bottom of the Leviosa Fork is at the current grade. So there's no pipe exposure, only diffusers sticking up from pipe itself. This is a view shown earlier by Randy. Relative to environmental protection during diffuser construction, the diffuser construction site contains no wetlands. Silt fencing will be placed below all disturbed areas. The aqua barriers are specified to allow excavation of the trench in the dry. All water pumped from inside the aqua barriers will flow through silt bags before the water is discharged back into the river. Construction will occur outside the restricted period identified by the Virginia Game and Inland Fishery. The in-stream construction duration is estimated at 6 days. This is a quick summary of the state and federal actions by various environmental agencies. We would note that Virginia DMME, the DMLR, has reviewed and approved the permit and has issued the Virginia NPDES permit. Virginia DEQ was substantially involved in those in the discussions and consultation with the DMLR and was the agency required to approve the complete mixing zone, and was the agency that required and directed that a diffuser be installed. They also reviewed and approved aspects of the construction that required the joint permit and the issuance of the VWP-4 permit. Virginia GIF reviewed the activities being proposed and approve the activities in the context of their jurisdiction. Similarly, Virginia Department of Conservation and Recreation reviewed the project and indicated approval based on the absence of threatened or endangered species under their jurisdiction. The Corps of Engineers, in consultation with Virginia DEQ, reviewed the project and deferred to Virginia DEQ to be the lead agency. They subsequently issued their permit in conjunction with DEQ's determination. The project has been reviewed by U.S. EPA Region 3 based on our understanding of issues being raised by the state of Kentucky. EPA Region 3 reviewed it and concurred with the issuance of the permit by Virginia DMLR. Similarly, the Office of Surface Mining was requested by Virginia DMLR to review the permit. They reviewed the permit application and provided concurrence to Virginia DMLR. That concludes my presentation.
Any questions from the commission? Doc, I have a couple questions for you, if I could. Not being familiar with the area, one of your previous slides indicated that the area was already impacted by a number of different pollutants. I was just wondering if you know if there's any type of activity, human activity undertaken in that watershed in proximity to the proposed location of the discharge line.
Yes. One of the issues associated with siting a mixing zone is the determining the tier level of the stream. And based on our review of the 303B listing and the impacts on the stream at that point in time, we determined, and Virginia DEQ concurred, that it was a tier one stream. As indicated by Randy, there have been impacts from PCBs on this stream. Our water quality studies show that some of the stream is suboptimal habitat. At the same time, there are three of the four stations sampled over two different time frames show that the aquatic habitat within the Leviosa Fork was in pretty good condition. Actually, surprisingly good condition. The river itself is confined between the Norfolk and Southern Railroad tracks and U.S. Route 460, so there's been considerable physical impact and confinement to the river itself. This is an area of historic coal mining, both surface and deep mining, so over the years, the impacts to the Leviosa Fork have been significant. For the last several years, the water quality in the Leviosa Fork has shown some improvement, and I think that's part of the summary of how I would characterize the river.
You mentioned that reverse osmosis had been considered. Does reverse osmosis also provide effluent as well, and what type of effluent, if any, would result even if you went with the reverse osmosis method of treatment?
Reverse osmosis would have a discharge. It would be a high-quality discharge. Some would suggest that it could be used for human consumption. Reverse osmosis does create some waste streams. The salts that are captured by the reverse osmosis unit have to be dealt with. There's some pretreatment requirements for reverse osmosis. They would also create some waste streams that would have to be disposed of.
Well, my question is this. I realize that reverse osmosis technology is used in a number of different applications for water for human consumption, but there also, as you just indicated, is a number of byproducts that are generated as well. If you were to employ a reverse osmosis unit there, where would the negative byproducts ultimately end up, and how negative are they?
It would likely be proposed that the salts would be disposed of, because they are a concentrated brine, that they would be disposed of in abandoned deep mines, with the volume reduction in the water being such that it would fit into storage now at the VP3 mine. The pretreatment solids would likely go to a municipal or industrial waste landfill.
Any further questions from the commission? Dr. McConaughey.
I was just curious, following up the commissioner's question, are there any organics in this effluent coming out? I mean, the chloride seems to be the major issue, but are there other kinds of organic waste that might be in this effluent?
Little to none, Doctor. We have done extensive water quality analysis on the mine water in the Buchanan mine over the last few years. The dominant parameters of concern are chloride and the associated sodium. The levels of metals are extremely low, not rising to a level of regulatory concern. There is sufficient iron in the water that it does require pretreatment that's fairly simple and fairly often used by coal mining companies.
Follow up, Dr. McConaughey.
So there aren't any PAHs or PCBs or anything in that nature in the water?
I believe of all the samples that we have run, PCBs were either not detected or detected at a very low level, approaching the detection limit. So they are extremely low.
Dr. McConaughey, for the record, you were talking about the discharge effluent.
The discharge effluent.
Well, the water that we have sampled is water that is being pumped from the Buchanan Number 1 mine.
Further questions by the commission? Mr. McCleskey.
Do you anticipate any scuffing of the discharge of the bottom of the silver downstream of the pipes?
Could you repeat the question? It was very difficult to understand over the speaker system here.
Do you anticipate any erosion or scuffing to the bottom of the river where your pipes discharge?
No, we do not. The velocities in the pool area are quite low, estimated at 2 or 3 feet per second. The acceleration that's coming from the diffuser is taking it up into the 5 to 6 feet per second range, and the location of the diffuser is elevated slightly above the bottom of the Liza Fork. So no, we do not anticipate any erosion on the bottom of the Liza Fork.
Thank you, sir.
Further questions? Thank you so very much for your presentation, sir.
Commissioner Bowman, the next speaker I have on the sheet is Wade McNeely. Now, the order of speaker, you said you want to speak, call for speaker and support first, I believe. McNeely signed up to speak, I believe. You've got him on record as being in opposition, but you want to call for anyone in support first now? Is anyone here in support of the project? It doesn't appear to be any, Commissioner Bowman.
Okay, well then proceed with the left. It'll be fine.
Okay, Mr. McNeely. I'm going to ask that each speaker spell their name for the record just in case this matter has to go to court, and that will help our recording secretary.
Sure.
Good afternoon.
Yes, Mr.
Good afternoon. Yes, sir. Would you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you'll give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Can you state your name, your address, and whom you represent, please?
Wade, W-A-D-E, McNeely, M-C-N-E-E-L-Y, Route 1, Box 228, Grundy, Virginia, representing myself.
Good to have you here, sir.
Thank you. I had some questions for the gentleman that just gave the his presentation. And what do you consider the low flow rate?
Mr. McNeely, in this format, this is a public hearing. It is not a time where we actually cross-examine what's going on with the last presenter. If you want to make your comments, you can do that. I would suggest also that in the interim, if you have those questions that you would like to ask of him, you could submit them in writing. They can respond back, and then you can write us up to the time of the hearing on March 27th if you have further concerns to the questions that, that you have of him, okay? So what we'd like to hear is, is your concerns.
My concern mainly is the water that they've been testing in Buchanan 1 mines has been pumped for, I'm thinking, 7 to 9 years into these other mines. So the PCBs, the grease, the oil, the contaminants that were in the mines when the water started coming in, pardon me, have been pumped out. And the fault that I'm having with this pumping out of these mines into our river without being treated is that those contaminants are still in these mines where they're storing this water. They can't test that until the water starts coming out of the mines where they're storing it. And the Region 3 is for PCBs, and I've contacted Kelly Bunker of the PCB Region 3 office in D.C. I've talked to Mr. Steve Johnson about it. This PCBs has been found in the Levisa River to be at a rate non-healthy for fish consumption since 1987. Unfortunately, we haven't had a TMDL study done on the river as of yet. They have one planned, but there's no eat no fish advisories have been in effect since 2002, and they're still in effect. Used to be able to go down and gig bullfrogs. I haven't heard a bullfrog in 20 years. With the PCBs, the chloride, the contaminant that's already in the river, 303D says that they shall not put more contaminants in a river which has already been impaired. The last 8 samples that were taken out of the Levisa River, all 8 were impaired with chloride and PCBs. Therefore, the Clean Water Act of 1998 states that they shall not put no more chloride or PCBs into the river. I mean, that's a plain law. I contacted Mr. Alan Newman with DEQ over in Abington, Virginia, and talked pretty extensively with him about the amount of chloride that was in the tests. There was anywhere from 145 milligrams per liter, 108 milligrams per liter, and I think adding another 165 milligrams per liter to that, we are going to run into deep trouble. And the calcium chloride is 1.3 times less than the sodium chloride. And here's an email I sent you, Mr. Bowman. I don't know if you responded to it or not. I can go ahead and read it.
You can. It's
if you allow this cold cut.
It's included in the record. I did see it, yes, sir, but go ahead.
Okay. Objective number one only permits where the operation is designed to prevent off-site material to the hydraulic balance and minimize both on and off-site disturbances to the hydraulic balance. In no case shall a permit be approved if the determination of portable hydraulic consequences or other reliable hydraulic analysis predicts the formation of a post-mining pollutant discharge that would require long-term treatment. And treatment is the only thing that I'm concerned with this water. They had an inner office menu, I was told, I don't know how true, up in Pennsylvania where they're from, that they know they're going to have to treat this water. And as the gentleman stated earlier about the billions of dollars that they're making from this coal mines, $110 million over 20 years to treat this water, I think, is minimal. And the impact on our environment would be great. The black water that they've been issued violations because they just, when the hard rains or creek gets up, they take a notion it's easier to open up the end of the sludge pond and let it run out in the creek in the evening and nights than it is to haul it off. Pardon me. And I checked the records back from the 9th, 28th of '06 until the 1st, 5th of '06, and there were a total of 304 violations. The number of violations for the year was 206. I mean, in 2006 was 411. And from January 1st of '05 until 12/28 of '06, there was a total of 690 violations. This just goes to show that how much that this Buckhannon One Console Energy thinks about the laws that's already wrote on the books. And prevention of safety for the miners that work there. They consider the big buck the only thing that counts. And it goes to show that. This one law, section 409, hydrology, is in quotation 225 ILCS 720 /409. SMCRA section 516. The operator shall minimize the disturbances of the prevailing hydraulic balance at the mine site and in associated off-site areas and to quality of water in surface and groundwater systems, both during and after underground coal mining operations and during reclamation. A, to that, avoid acid and other toxic mine drainage such as measures as, but not limited to, preventing and removing water from contact with toxic producing deposits. Treating drainage to reduce toxic content where adversely affects downstream water on being released to water sources. That goes to the Kentucky people that are drinking this water. Casing, sealing, and otherwise managing borehole shafts and wells to keep acid and other toxic drainage from entering ground and surface water. And the source is PA 81-1015. To the extent possible, using the best technology currently available, the operator shall minimize the disturbances and adverse effects of the underground mining operation on fish, wildlife, and related environmental values, and achieve enhancement as such resources were practical. Thank you, John.
Thank you for the compliment.
Did you have questions?
If there's any questions of the commissioners, thank you, sir, for a good presentation. Appreciate it. Good afternoon, sir. Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self to God.
I do.
Okay, state your name, your address, and who you represent, please, sir.
Jerry Ward, JerryWard. My address is P.O. Box 473, King Mountain, Virginia, zip 24624. I'm currently employed by Buckhannon County. I'm a litter officer for Buckhannon County. But I was a previous employee of Island Creek and Console for 25 and a half years. I worked all this time at VP number 3 mines until the mine shut down in March of 1998.
Commissioner Bowman, we have a request from the Buchanan County Attorney. Mr. Ward is one of Randy, I can't hear you. Need to get closer to his mic. I can't hear you. Just staying close to you, Trevor.
Okay. The Buchanan County attorney, this is one of their witnesses, and he was asking if he could essentially be present to put the witnesses on, and I guess in the order that he would call them up, and this is one of his witnesses. Maybe I'll bring that gentleman forward for you.
I don't know which way to look here, but...
Well, we're in the same boat together, so go ahead, sir. I can see you just fine.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. We have several witnesses. My name is Mickey McLaughlin first, and I'm the county attorney for Buckhannon County, Virginia, which is in opposition to this permit application. And we have several people here today that are witnesses, including Mr. Ward. And what we would ask is if we could put them on to testify in sequence and maybe ask them some questions as they go along so that we could make sure we get all of this out.
I think that's appropriate and probably very orderly as well. So the chair will rule that's in order, and you can proceed, counsel.
If that be the case, as I say, we have several people that we would like to put on.
We'll swear them all at once.
What I'd like to do, we have several people that we would like to put on as witnesses. What I'd like to do to begin with, if I could, would be to just make a statement about this to begin with, and then I would call Mr. Ward back later on to give his statement, if that'd be all right.
That's fine. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Commissioner Bowman, this is Brian Beneva representing Consol.
Yes, sir.
I was just wondering... I was wondering about the procedure. My understanding is that this is a public hearing, not an evidentiary-type hearing, and it's being requested that it be turned into a direct examination, and if that's the case, then I would ask an opportunity for cross-examination. This is I've been before this commission on numerous occasions. I've never quite seen it done this way.
Could I respond?
I would like to ask the commissioner to respond.
What? Mr. Commissioner, can I respond to what he's just asked?
Just a minute, please. Counselor?
Yes, sir.
I have discussed it with our legal counsel, and what he feels would be appropriate in this situation is that you can go ahead and make a statement that would actually be an introductory type statement. But as far as cross-examining the witnesses, this is a public hearing, and we would like to have the citizens provide their input without prompting. So I'll defer to my counsel, and that will be the ruling of the chair.
Just for clarification, so Mr. McLaughlin will not be providing examination witnesses.
That is correct.
Right. Well, I will. What I would have said is I have no objection to them cross-examining our witnesses if we could cross-examine their witnesses. But I'll turn the microphone back over to Mr. Ward then.
Just as a point of clarification, in the introductory statement, I did indicate that this is not a court of law. It's a quasi-judicial body. That decisions are appealable to the circuit court. So therefore, that's the basis for the ruling as far as examination, cross-examination of witnesses. Proceed, sir.
As I said, my name is Jerry Ward, and I worked for Console in Island Creek for 25 and a half years at VP number 3 Mines. Now, I'd like to make some statements on some comments that's already been made. The Buckhannon number 1 Mines, but let me clarify first that right now I obtain first-class mine foreman papers. That means that I can go underground and be a mine foreman in the mining industry right now. It's current. I was also a certified electrician. I was also a certified diesel mechanic to work on the diesel equipment underground. I've held every position in VP number 3 that could be held underground and several above surface. So I feel like I'm qualified to speak in some of these areas today and some of the credentials that I hold. And the VP number 1 mine, first of all, you got to remember this mine didn't start until around, 82, 83. And you got one thing you got to remember, that the PVCs were outlawed in 1978, I believe it is. And another thing, that Buckhannon Mines, they had all diesel equipment. They didn't have any trolley war equipment. And I'll qualify some things here in a minute. So you got a different atmosphere in Buckhannon Mines than what you got in VP number 3 Mines, because they didn't have the PCB transformers. Now, they're pumping this water from the VP number 1 Mines, and the gentleman made the contaminants that's already in the number 1 Mines, but they're putting it in number 3 Mines. And I want to shed some light on some other contaminants that's in the VP number 3 Mines. Now, the Buckhannon number 1 Mines, their long walls had what they used a system that they didn't have the hot hydraulic oil. They had what's called emulsion oil. And I'll explain it to you. The emulsion oil is 90% water and 10% oil. But in the latter years in VP number 3, we also used this type of system on our long walls. Now, you got to remember, a long wall is approximately, I think right now, that the Buckhannon Mines, I think they got permitted for 2,000-foot panels. I could be corrected, but I think I read that. But now, our long wall panels at VP number 3 Mines were 1,000-foot long, approximately around 100 jacks with 100-ton pistons, and it could give a little bit on that. So you can see that the hydraulic fluid back in the early 70s, and I started working in the mines in 1972 at VP number 3. I worked for the summer, went to college, and returned again in July of 73. And we had the old type long walls that's before they went to the shears, and it was the hook plows. And we used 100% hydraulic oil. And back in those days, my job would be, we had a 500-gallon tank that we would put this hydraulic oil in that would supply the jacks. At that time, the panels first started out 450 foot long, then they went to 750, and then to 1,000, now to 2,000. So this hydraulic oil was to support the shields to hold the top up as they would take the coal out and they would move up. Well, the biggest hose in this jack line at that time was an inch and a quarter hydraulic hose. Now, if this hose ruptured, it would completely drain a 500-gallon tank in a matter of less than 5 minutes. It would completely drain it. And I have filled that tank up. I put two supply cars, around 1,000 gallons of oil, in one ship supplying the jacks. Now, there was a time in the mid-70s that they shut the long wall down. They wrote a violation. This was when Island Creek Coal Company, this was before Consol had bought them out. And they shut the long wall down because we had so many hydraulic leaks that they said it was a fire hazard, and they shut the long wall down, and they had to repair all the jacks. And you can find this is all in federal records. They had shut the mines down. So you take, if one ship, I put 1,000 gallon in, and if the other ship put 1,000, that's 3,000 gallon in 24 hours. You multiply that over the years, and you're going to get into the millions of gallons of hydraulic oil that was left in the BP number 3 mines. Now, getting back to the trolley war, which the Buckhannon mines doesn't have the trolley war system, but the trolley war is that your equipment was run electrically, and it had a pole that run up, and you had this copper wire that went all the way through. And you're talking about miles and miles of copper wire.
Mr. Ward, I think you have substantiated the fact that you believe that the water inside this mine is severely negatively impacted. I would like, if we could, due to time constraints, to basically move along and hear your reasoning as to why the Marine Resources Commission should not approve this discharge pipe. We have before us evidence from the Department of Environmental Quality that deals with a study that will provide a comprehensive scientific evaluation of all the inputs to the watershed, both point and non-point source. So we know that it will be monitored, and I think where you're getting to is that you're asserting that there is pollution there. What I want to hear from you, if I could please, is why you think we should not allow this diffuser. No doubt you're uniquely qualified to state what goes on in the mine, but we really need to move along as to why you believe this diffuser and pipe should not be placed in the Lavazza River.
All right, the VP number 3 water has not been tested yet. It'll not be tested until it's released. It has hydraulic oil, it has grease, it has hydrochloric acid, which hydrochloric acid hasn't been brought up today, but they use that in the fracking process when they frack for the gas wells. VP number 3, we had hydrochloric acid coming in, and the company had to provide us with protective equipment, rubber gloves, rubber coats to protect us. It was eating the metal, it was turning it blue, and there was hydrochloric acid. It would burn your skin just like you were burnt with fire, and some of the men got burnt from it, and then they started providing protective equipment. So that's why it's got hydrochloric acid, it's got grease, it's got diesel fuel because we had diesel equipment, and there's been spillages of diesel in the mines. There's PVCs in the early 70s. I was an electrician. And that was before they knew what PCBs was, and we'd change the pots in the transformers. This liquid would go out on the ground. No one knew what PCBs was then. We was exposed to it with no protective equipment. We even used it to clean our tools up and to clean our hands because it was real good for removing dirt and grease from your hands. So there's PCBs, there's hydrochloric acid, there's diesel fuel, hydraulic fuel, and many more contaminants in the mines. So, and this has not been tested because the water hasn't been released from VP number 3. And I think when it's released, and also getting back to the osmosis that I also worked for Virginia Department of Transportation for 6 years, and the calcium chloride and the salt could be used in the state of Virginia to open our highways up from ice, snow, and when I worked in the mines, we had a water hole that was 200 foot long, and about 3.5 feet deep. We pumped some of the water and the rest of it from the ventilation system, dried it up. I have this salt at the house. I asked the company in the early 90s, after this salt bed had dried out and hit 1.5 to 2 inches thick, and I still got it in a 5-gallon bucket. I took it home because I asked the management if I could have some of it. I said my daughter might want to do a science project at school, and I took some fossils from a rock fall. I have this salt in a 5-gallon bucket under the floor of my house, and it's approximately 1.5 to 2 inches thick from a 3.5-foot water hole. So that shows you some of the salt concentration that we're talking about in the chloride. And by using osmosis, you could use this to all over the state of Virginia. There would be a market. You would have to put this salt back in the mines. It is quality salt that could be used to open our highways up.
Thank you, sir.
I think I've pretty well covered areas today why that I feel like it shouldn't, and I think I've made a point on how we could use some of these and keep our environment clean. And I think it's the right thing to do because, you know, we're already spending millions of dollars in the Chesapeake and other water sources in the state of Virginia cleaning them up. So why should we go ahead and pollute more and have to spend millions more to clean the waterways up? I thank you, gentlemen, for your attention today.
Thank you for your presentation. Let me see if the commission has any questions. Any questions? Thank you, Mr. Ward. Sir, raise your right hand.
Yes, sir.
Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. State your name, your address, and who you represent, please.
My name is Jerry Jones, J-E-R-R-Y-J-O-N-E-S, Route 2, Box 531, Grundy, Virginia, and I represent myself and some other fishermen in Buchanan County. The gentleman has some pictures of mine that was taken. Consul, I believe this gentleman over here has it, our last meeting that we had, that we were all separated from each other. We were taken into another room from Riverview. We were taken into another room and interviewed, made statements, and we were not together. The other gentleman, the other fishermen all worked together. We have pictures here from where the water's going in. Okay. These.
Well, we're going to get these on the bottom of the camera. You're going to lose the image of the speaker, but you'll get the photographs. All right.
Okay. These pictures.
Hold on. Let me get straight down here.
These pictures here you see are taken in the area down there where they said that they were nothing there. These were in 205. I took my brother and I over here. I took the pictures on a lot of them. You're looking at 2.5, 3-pound bass, smallmouth bass that were taken there. And Consul has 8 of my pictures. I don't know what happened to them, but they have them that were taken in the area right there where the this one right here myself, this right here came from right there where they said there wasn't no fish there. Nothing was there. That's 2.5-pound smallmouth bass in that river. I have red eyes that were what they call red eye fish based off the smallmouth was there. And this gentleman right here, you're looking at 3-pound. All this area is where these gentlemen says nothing was there. Some of these goes on down the river. Okay, I have that right there is 2.5-pound. This one right here is hanging on my wall. He's 4-pound. He was taken just down below down there.
Well, where is below down there? Below where the what site is?
Okay, yeah, about 2 miles below from the area here where they're wanting to put the water in.
All right.
But those other ones I showed you before there, is the fish that was taken right in the area, right there from where they want to put it in down to the bridge there, which is probably, what, a quarter of a mile below there. This is another one right there that was taken in that area there.
Okay.
Okay, this one's taken in Harmon Junction, probably about 3.5, 4 miles down below from where to put the water in. Anyhow, this is all the fish that were taken that were taken there. Our fish population has just came back in the river down there now. And we have worked so hard. Everybody in the area, the fish is there, has... Sir? Yeah. These fish were... There's other gentlemen there, fishes down the river with us. I've lived in Buchanan County all my life. I'm a retired investigator for the Sheriff's Department in Buchanan County. And about all I do now is fish. So I go from the area, from Grundy on down. And some above, but these are below. And the thing about it is that you go down there now and you see deer sign all over the riverbank, turkey sign. You see all kinds of live life there, signs on the riverbank. Now, this stuff's going to go in here. It's going to kill. I feel it's going to kill it as long as the other fishermen do too. Our fish population is just coming back. I mean, it's getting to where that you're seeing them and catching some. Of course, we catch and release. I only kept one. I caught two last year. I kept one 4 pound, one 3.5 pound that I kept. But the rest of them, I caught catch and release is all we do. But the thing about it is that it's not only the fish, but we're looking at deer, turkeys, and everything else that drinks out of that water from that area on down. Anytime you want to come, these gentlemen from Ponso, if you'd like to come down, I'll take your trip down and show you where it's at, where everything's at. But, see, the thing what makes me so mad, I guess I shouldn't be, but it makes me mad to think that everybody else is saying, ain't nothing there. You know there's something there. This gentleman up here spoke just a minute ago, talking about what's in the water. I was lucky. I never worked in no coal mine. My dad told me when I was growing up, I'd rather see you pick up pop bottles than work in a coal mine. I'm a big carrot. I wouldn't do that. But I packed a gun instead. But what we're shooting so hard for now is to clean this mess up if you're going to put it in the water. You know, ain't no sense in this stuff killing out everything down. We finally got one of the gentlemen, I don't remember who the guy was in console, that finally admitted that, yeah, it's going to kill some fish on there. Well, how far is that going to go?
Thank you, sir.
Huh? Anybody can? You know, that's what we're wanting to know. And why? And there's 443 people. I like to see, along with some other people, would like to see every name and every address of those 443 people that are supposed to be working for console in Buckingham County. Because we know Tazewell County and Russell County is where they're coming from. Some of the gentlemen that I fish with, one more point and I quit, okay?
Okay, no problem.
One more point was when this mines got on fire up there, this guy says, hey, that's it, I'm not going back. And the younger guy's not going back. And now they're telling us 443 people. I want to see their names. I'd like to see the names.
Okay.
And their addresses. I'd like to see them all. I think you're going to find out that probably 95% of it is out of Tazewell and Russell County. Thank you, sir.
Believe it or not, we're going to have to keep those pictures, too, for a period of about 47 days in case this case is appealed, since you've introduced them into the record. We can assure you we've got
all
your
right.
Name and address. You will get those pictures back.
All right. I'd like to have those back because I've got them on disk on my computer, but I'd like to keep. I gave them 8 after, I think, the last meeting we had in Riverview Elementary. And they got those. I'd like to have those back, too.
You count the number. The number you've got there. Get that same number back.
Okay. All right. No problem.
All righty.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Mr. Owen, make sure you initial those pictures, if you would, and make them part of the record.
Okay, well done.
Thank you. Good afternoon, sir.
My name is Franklin Stilton.
Please raise your right hand, Mr. Stilton. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth of God.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Name, address, and who you're speaking with, please.
My name's Franklin Stilton. I live at Grundy. Lived there all my life. Live at Route 2, Box 530. And I ain't got too much to say everybody's covered. It's about it. I worked in the mines for 29 and a half years. Anything they didn't want, it's left there. And I just take to see all the fish and all the wildlife we're getting in Buchanan County run out, you know, something like this. We got deer, beavers, and that deer ain't been in there for years. And I just like to, somebody step in and help keep them from doing it. And I thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Mr. Stilton. Any questions from the commission? Thank you, sir. Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth of God?
I do.
Thank you. State your name, address, and who you represent, please, sir.
My name is Carol Branham. I live in Grundy, Virginia. I am chairman of the Buchanan County Board of Supervisors.
Good to have you here, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. What I'd like to say is, of course, the Board of Supervisors is on record as opposing the discharge. We're not opposed to Consol's mining. That's a relative part of our economy in Buchanan County, but we feel like that there's a better way to handle this situation than what's being done. Reverse osmosis or some other way of cleaning this discharge, we feel, would be a better solution than what we're facing here. On a personal note, I think the discharge, of course, will turn the river brown. I don't know what it will do to the rest of the environment there, but I just feel it's just not a good situation. It's something we should take a good hard look at what it will do to the environment in Buchanan County, not just in the next few years, but in our children and our grandchildren's time. And that basically, the rest of this has been covered. That's all I have to say. Thank you, sir.
Thank
Does
you,
anyone
Mr.
have any questions?
Anyone have any questions of the chairman? Thank you very much, sir. No questions.
Thank you.
My name is Lawrence Moise.
Mr. Moise,
I don't know if I need to if I need to be sworn in or not. I'm the assistant county attorney for from Buchanan County. I'm here with Mr. McLaughlin, who's our county attorney. I don't want in any way limit what Mr. McLaughlin would like to say at the end, but I would, if the commission would allow me, to make just a few observations.
If you're going to be providing evidence, I think it's best to perfect the record that you do be sworn, just in case we have an issue with it if it does go to court. So if you wouldn't mind, I would like to swear you in if you're going to speak on behalf of the county or on behalf of yourself.
Okay.
Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you, sir. Proceed, please. Name, your name, once again.
It's
right, go ahead.
Lawrence, yes, sir. Lawrence Moes, I'm the assistant county attorney for Buckhannon County. And my address is P.O. Box or P.O. Drawer 950, Grundy, Virginia, 24614.
Good to have you here, Kevin.
Thank you very much. As an initial point, I'd like to offer three documents into the record, if I may. The first one is an affidavit from Jerry Ward. You've heard from Mr. Ward already. This was an affidavit that he executed on January 24th of this year. And I'd just like to offer that into the record so it could be part of the commission's record in this matter.
Has opposing counsel seen that document by chance? Has opposing counsel seen that?
I suspect, Mr. Chair, Commissioner, that I probably have. I just was asking for clarification. When was this? What was this submitted with?
It was submitted along with two DMA
I have seen it in a different proceeding, Mr. Commissioner.
That'll be fine. Thank you. Proceed, Mr. Moise.
Thank you. Thank you. The second document that I'd like to put in the record for the commission is a resolution that the Buckhannon Board of Supervisors, Buckhannon County Board of Supervisors, passed on October 12, 2006, in opposition to the permit as it stands right now to discharge the water, untreated water, into the WISA. So I'd like to offer that as a second document.
Mr. Moise, what date was that?
October the 12th, 2006.
From Buckhannon County?
Yes, sir. I think you may already have in your record a December 2005 resolution.
That's correct.
There have been several resolutions the Board of Supervisors has passed and adopted.
I just want to make sure it was right. That's fine.
Yes, sir. And finally, there's this third document is an additional resolution that was passed and adopted by the Board of Supervisors on January the 8th, 2007. I would note that these resolutions have been unanimous in terms of the entire board's opposition to the current plan to discharge untreated mine water into the WISA 4.
So noted.
If I may, I'd like to offer a few comments as to why I think that this particular permit is flawed and would ask the commission not to approve it in its current state. Of course, one of the items that the commission considers in either deciding to grant or deny a permit before it is the water quality. And I'm referring specifically to Title Virginia Code Section 28.2-1205. You've already heard some testimony from Mr. Ward in regards to the contaminants that are in BP number 3. I don't think that even Consul would attempt to deny that there are contaminants within BP number 3 mine. I would note that DMLR, when it considered Consul's permit that was before that agency, that they made this assumption that the quality of the mine water in BP number 3 would be the same as the quality of the mine water coming out of Buck 1.
I think that Mr. Ward's testimony before this commission, his affidavit, which we've just filed with the commission, would show that that assumption is clearly erroneous. There are very dangerous, toxic contaminants in VP number 3, and the permit that Consol has submitted uses VP number 3 as a temporary storage facility. I believe Dr. Roberts' presentation, if I understood him correctly, that one of the purposes of VP3 as a temporary storage facility is to act as an overflow point where water can be stored if for some reason the discharge is stopped at some point because of a monitoring issue or what have you. This would indicate to me, and I would submit to the commission, that VP3 is integral to the permit, not only before this commission, but also the permit that was has been for DMLR, and that you can't cut VP3 out of this circuit or this loop without completely changing the permit itself. I would respectfully submit that it was an abuse of discretion for DMLR to assume that the quality of the mine water in VP3 will be the same as the quality of the water coming out of Buck 1. Now, we're not even talking about the chloride levels. We're talking about the contaminants that are going to be picked up when water is pumped in and out of VP number 3. And that water has not been tested. And I think that it is it's an abuse of discretion, and that it would violate the public trust to grant this permit as it currently stands. As our chairman of the Board of Supervisors has indicated, the county is not opposed to Consol mining the coal. It's integral to the economy of Buchanan County. But what we do oppose is the discharge of untreated water into the Leviciport, a river that's starting to come back after years and years and years of abuse. And I think that's buttressed by Mr. Jerry Jones' testimony. So we would ask the commission, or I would ask the commission, not to approve this permit. There's a way to do this, and it's treating the water in an appropriate manner. Now, I'd be happy to answer any questions the commission might have.
Thank you, Council. Let me see if there is any questions from the commission. I don't believe so. Thank you for your presentation, Mr. Ruiz.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if y'all got any ladies over there, but we got some here.
Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth throughout the God?
I do.
State your name, address, and who you represent, please, sir.
Gerald L. Jerry Elkins, G-E-R-A-L-D L. Jerry Elkins, E-L-K-I-N-S. Route 1, Box 50, Raven, Virginia.
Good to have you here, sir.
Pardon?
Good to have you here today, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm looking at you on camera, but my camera's up in front of me, so I'll get used to that in a minute. I'm a citizen of Buchanan County. I held a 5-year term on the Big Sandy Soil and Water Conservation District Board and the Lonesome Pine Soil and Water Conservation District Board, as vice chairman on both boards. I was appointed by Governor Jim Gilmore to help Mr. Bobby Hall in the organization of this fledgling district to serve the Buchanan County District. I am not being paid to be here. I would like to recognize the good corporate citizenship of Consolidated Coal Group for attempting to jump through all the hoops that state code requires. Thank you. I sympathize with you gentlemen on the commission for inheriting this responsibility from the other state agencies to make the final decision. I salute you for your perseverance and patience. Good luck.
Thank you.
My concern as a citizen is this. I'm a boater, a kayaker, a fisherman, and an educator. Having assisted with the Virginia SOS Save Our Streams programs through the Big Sandy Soil and Water Conservation District to help the schools comply with the Virginia SOL requirements. My concern is what health and safety issues are possible when the students of Riverview Elementary, which is 4 or 5 miles downstream for this particular area of discharge, what possible health and safety issues are they going to experience? I have concern for the citizens, for the children and the instructors who will be in the creek during this education activity. In 1999, while on the Soil and Water Conservation District Board, I requested that the Department of Agriculture do a study to determine if there's possible to do a fishing-based guide service that could be operated in this river, in this watershed area. It was determined that a business that would generate approximately $28,000 to $36,000 per year could be run. This report I requested and should be on file at the Black Diamond Resource Conservation and Development Council office in Lebanon, Virginia. I can follow up with this report to you gentlemen and will do so. I know we've got a big problem here to deal with, and it's going to take all of us in this room, down where you all are in Hampton. So one of the possibilities I've thought of is, could we possibly treat this water upstream for release to increase the flow rates for possible whitewater recreation, economic development, etc., in an economically depressed area? A similar project was done by the Army Corps of Engineers in Ducktown, Tennessee, on the Ocoee River, which was to provide a whitewater course for the Olympics hosted in Atlanta, Georgia. I believe that was in 2000. I'm not sure when the year was, but I'm sure we can all remember it. This would help sustain a long overdue management of balance of the economy. I oppose the said permit based on apparent circumstantial evidence until conclusive data can be obtained. The safety and health of approximately 350,000 United States citizens is at stake. Again, thank you, members of the commission, for your patience.
Thank you for your presentation. Is there any members of the commission have any questions?
Thank you, sir.
Facing in the right way.
Straight forward where you are now, Counselor. You'll be looking right at us.
If I can get this on, I'll be doing all right.
And Counselor, just for the record, Counselor, I think for the record, I think if we're just with the same with Mr. Moise, if you're going to provide evidence that is either pro or con that may be used in the court proceeding, I think we need to swear you in.
I would like you to swear me.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, of God?
I do.
Thank you, sir. Again, please state your name and who you represent for the record.
My name is Michael Gordon McLaughlin. I go by my nickname, which is Mickey McLaughlin. I am a resident of the town of Grundy. My address is Post Office Drawer 810, Grundy, Virginia, 24614. I am the county attorney for Buckhannon County. Except for being away for the mandatory, such as education, I've lived in Buckhannon County all my life.
Good to have you here.
Thank you for inviting me. My parents are from Buckhannon County. My grandparents are from Buckhannon County. My great-grandfather first came to Buckhannon County in 1847, and I am told that as late as the early 1920s that the Levisa River was a pristine stream running through the center of Buckhannon County. I want to tell you just a little about Buckhannon County, if I may, because I think it will help your understanding of this. Buckhannon County lies in the Appalachian Mountains. It has slightly over 500 square miles. It has, at this point in time, approximately 25,000 people that live in it. It is an area with extremely steep mountainous slopes. The land is very mountainous. At one time, before surface mining became what it is today, the largest piece of level land in Buckhannon County would not have exceeded 13 acres in size. The Levisa River, which runs through the center of Buckhannon County and through the town of Grundy, is a branch of the Big Sandy River, which flows into the Ohio River. Another section of Buckhannon County is drained by the Russell Fork River, which flows into the Big Sandy. Another section is drained by Knox Creek, which flows into the Big Sandy. The Big Sandy and these Levisa River and these other forks are very much part of our everyday life. Almost everyone who lives in Buckhannon County, with the exception of those that live on top of the mountains, live within view of these streams. In 1931, the commercial mining industry came into Buckhannon County, and after that, the Levisa River became polluted. Buckhannon County became the top coal mining county in the Commonwealth of Virginia, one of the top 10 coal mining counties in the United States based upon coal produced. In the early 1980s, coal went into decline. And also, the industry became more and more mechanized. Techniques such as the longwall mining technique began to be employed in Buckhannon County in the deep shaft mines, which were basically at sea level, approximately 1,000 to 1,400 feet below the surface of the land. The valley floor, that is, not the mountain tops. They employed these mining methods, and the coal began to be removed much more rapidly. There was a lot of subsidence breaks in the surface. So there was less coal to mine, the production became more mechanized, and the number of people mining coal fell from over 7,000 active coal mining jobs in 1980 to less than 1,000 in the last few years. Population declined to about 25,000. At the same time that there was this decline, the number of mines declined, there was an active effort by people such as Jerry Jones and Big Sandy Soil and Water and the Buckhannon County Board of Supervisors to try to clean these streams up. The economic idea for our county was to clean up the county, to try to bring in jobs and higher education. Based on that, we got the Appalachian School of Law in Grundy, which now has more than 360 law students. The University of Appalachia College of Pharmacy, which has 128 students at Oakwood, Virginia. And to use those schools to try to bring in people from around the country so that we could begin a tourist industry in our area. An area that is a beautiful area. An area that has truly been blessed by God. We live in Virginia's largest deciduous forest. We live on the edge of the Grand Canyon of the South that breaks Interstate Park. It is a beautiful place, Buckhannon County, and the Levisa River is coming back. It's now proclaimed as one of the best smallmouth bass fishing streams in the state. People are catching catfish out of it. For years, there was the Kiwanis raft race that started in the town of Grundy and went right through the area where this diffuser is proposed to be located. It is a regular thing to see people fishing on the banks of this stream in the vicinity of where this discharge is proposed. And the Board of Supervisors of Buckhannon County is very interested in developing a diverse economy and trying to bring back the people that we have lost that have had to move out of our area because of the lack of jobs that we've had. We are very much concerned about this. This mine does employ a lot of people. And it is true, I think, when they say that if they don't do something with this water, they cannot continue to mine this coal. That, I have no doubt. The coal mining operation is part of it. The other part is they have over 2,000 gas wells in Buckhannon County that take out a lot of gas. And that's being done by a subsidiary company, CNX Gas, which CONSOL owns about 80-some percent of. Now, so if you think to keep these jobs, you have to take this water out, why would you be opposed to it? Anytime someone wants to put in a house trailer or a house in Buckhannon County, they have to either get public sewer or they have to build a septic tank. And a lot of them complain about it. They don't like the cost. The average family income in Buckhannon County is about $27,000 per year. Sometimes to put in a septic system can be $2,500 to $5,000. People that are low-income people do not like those costs. It costs them. But we tell them that they have to do it because it's the law. Because we want our streams cleaned up. Because we want healthy streams. And today, CONSOL's counsel comes in here and he says, this is going to cost a lot of money to treat this water. But you will remember that they have not put in one shred of evidence as to what their profit margin is on this mine. And why would they not put that in? Because it says that they can continue to mine this coal and treat this water. They can continue to mine it and treat it. Now, the other agency, the DMME, has listened to them say this is going to cost us a great big amount of money. And that is a great big amount of money that they proclaimed, $105 million. But everything's relative. $5,000 is a great big amount of money to somebody that's making $27,000 a year. So we have to get beyond that, and you have to look at, can they afford to treat this water? And they've never really been willing to provide any numbers on profits from this mine and their associated gas operations, or to really discuss this. And the DMME has not forced them to do this. They have just said, $105 million. Gee, that's a lot of money. We're going to go ahead with this thing and grant them a permit. It's about the money, though. We submit to you that if you examine their records, and to be able to make this kind of discharge, their records ought to be examined,
that you will find that they can afford to treat this water, and they should not be able to release it into the stream. What effect will it have if it goes into the stream? Now, at this session of the General Assembly, Delegate Dan Bowling introduced House Bill number 3088, which would have said, in pertinent part, that the mixing zone for any discharge into the Labaisa River or its tributaries that has a total salinity concentration greater than 1% shall have a length not greater than 3 times the width of the Labaisa Fork or its tributary at the point of discharge. Now, the permit as granted by DMME exceeds that in the extreme. In the extreme, by something more like 40 times. It's a mixing zone of something like 40 times the width of the discharge zone. So, this bill was put in by Delegate Bowling and put in the Senate side by Senator Puckett. And through the Coal Association, they argued very strenuously that this should not be passed because it was in front of an administrative agency, and that bills and that applications in front of an administrative agency should be ruled on by the administrative agency rather than brought back to the Senate or the House. So the bill failed in the Senate in the committee 9-6. At the committee hearing, we presented the statement of Dr. Donald J. Orr, the Thomas H. Jones Professor at Virginia Polytechnic and State University, who has a Ph.D. in zoology, and I have his resume here with him, me, which goes on for some 50 pages about the his educational background and the various articles he has written on fish and wildlife. He made a statement at that time. He is unable to be here today. It might be that I can get him on the telephone and that you can speak with him on the phone. He said that he would be glad to answer any questions. But I have his written statement that he gave to the General Assembly, and I would like to read that into the record, if I may. And I will give this along with his resume and a copy of the bill to you.
You may, and for the record, I was present at both committee meetings, so I can attest to the fact that he did do a wonderful job there.
This is his statement. I am a certified fisheries professional with 30 years' experience studying fishes in freshwater rivers and streams. I am the Thomas H. Jones Professor of Fisheries at Virginia Tech and have a Ph. in zoology from Oklahoma State University. I am here today to speak in support of House Bill 3088 related to protecting the Labaisa Fork, a tributary of the Big Sandy River located in Buckhannon County, Virginia, and flowing into Kentucky. The Labaisa Fork is a mountain stream that currently supports viable fisheries for smallmouth bass and other warm water game fishes. In addition, it provides habitat to support one of the few populations of the variegate darter in Virginia. The variegate darter is a state endangered species. Unfortunately, the Labaisa Fork is under threat of unprecedented discharges of salty water from deep coal mines. This salty water contains high levels of chlorides more than an order of magnitude higher than the U.S. EPA long-term toxic concentrations for aquatic species living in fresh waters such as the Labaisa Fork. We presently know very little about the acute and chronic effects of such discharges on the aquatic environment and native species of the Labaisa Fork. Bringing this issue to a head is a pending permit for the discharge of such untreated salty water that would allow for a mixing zone approximately 4,000 feet long or 50 times greater than the width of the stream at the point of discharge, or roughly 10 times the normal maximum length of a mixing zone that could be permitted under state water quality standards. The result is that a high to moderate concentration of salty water will permeate into the Labasa River for nearly 3/4 of a mile. Such a discharge of untreated salty water with high chlorides and other contaminants can also be expected to seriously undermine other industrial, municipal, and recreational uses of the Labasa Port that require clean water. In addition, there is anecdotal information indicating that the discharges of one mine to be used under this pending permit may contain polychlorinated biphenyls, PCBs, associated with past practices at the mine. PCBs are a known cancer-causing substance. The Labasa Fork is already under a health department PCB advisory limiting the consumption of fish taken from the river. Article 11, Section 1 of the Virginia Constitution requires that we protect the fish, wildlife, and natural habitats of the Commonwealth for the use and enjoyment of all its citizens. House Bill 3088 would help to fulfill this constitutional mandate by protecting the water quality of the river and prohibiting the discharge of suspected but as of yet unknown quantities of PCBs into the river. The bill also provided that no permit can be issued to allow PCBs to go into the river, which would have been, actually, that part of the bill would have been a repetition of current law in other places. Without this protection and prohibition, serious harm to the aquatic habitat of the Labasa Fork is likely to result, including the potential loss of a state endangered species, and other citizens and businesses will be denied the enjoyment and use that the river can provide into the future. Now, what is he talking about there? There is a letter to Mr. Robert W. Grabb of the Virginia Marine Resources Commission main office dated October 6, 2006 that we've obtained a copy of. And this is from Ellen Galinsky, Ph.D., Director of Division of Water Quality. She says on page 2 of that letter, in addition, DEQ and DMLR are proposing to conduct a total maximum daily load study under Section 303D of the Clean Water Act on the entire Labasa River watershed. One of the deep concerns of the Buchanan County Board of Supervisors, other than the portion of this which goes to the health and safety, is that this discharge is going to use up. There won't be anything else that could be put into this stream, and effectively, that could put a halt to other development in Buchanan County. It is our Board of Supervisors' belief that this water can be treated. Now, the two main methods of treatment could be, one, reverse osmosis, or secondly, by distillation. There's not been any good discussion, public discussion of these things. In fact, if we discuss it here for a moment or two, or today for a moment or two, that'll be the first good public discussion of it. This water runs right by three coke ovens in the whole state of Virginia, which are owned by Sun Oil, Jewel Coal and Coke. The water goes right by them, and at this point in time, a lot of heat from these coke ovens is basically going off into the air. That heat, I will submit to you, could be used to aid in the distillation process of this water. At this time, while they're talking about putting this water into the stream, Buckhannon County is looking for other water sources for the public. And we're getting ready to spend a few million dollars on trying to develop a well to try to bring water, fresh water, to the citizens of Buckhannon County. That money could be spent to help clear up this situation. But again, there's not been any good discussion of that. The coal mining has broken the surface, as the gentleman said. Water comes in from groundwater. Most of our people years ago got their water from deep wells. Now we get most of our water from the John Flanagan Dam through a pipeline. Still a lot of people have wells, and these wells have been sunk by mining. A lot of money has been spent by the federal government to build water lines in Buckhannon County. That could be part of the larger discussion to keep this stream clean. Now, they say $105 million over 17 years, $20 million down, $5 million a year. We submit to you that $105 million, they probably already spent a portion of those costs. And they've spent a portion of it because I submit to you that it probably contains the cost of getting the water up out of the well and piping it to another place. That probably could be used to defray part of the $105 million. You ask them about that if you would. I respectfully request. Ask them if they could use, if some of that $105 million cost in treating the water doesn't come from costs that they've already expended. What about the coke ovens? What about a discussion on that? There's not been one. There's not been one. But full speed ahead, they proceed at this point in time without having your permit, and even without having the permit when they started it from the DMME to put this water line in. These were pictures that were taken on January the 10th, 2007. And I don't know if I can continue talking while these are being shown or not. First picture shows a crew working on the water line on January the 10th. Next picture shows a picture of the water line laid beside the railroad track being prepared to be put in. Next picture shows the section of installed pipeline. This is back on January 10th. And this is the section beyond, this is the section of pipeline being built directly to where they're going to put this water in the stream. It doesn't go to any other storage facility. Another section of pipeline in.
Mr. McLaughlin, we don't have any jurisdiction whatsoever over this specific pipeline. I think I know the point that you're making, and depending upon what the Marine Resources Commission does or the courts do, they can either put it into the river or put a cap on the end of it. But honestly, right now, we don't have any jurisdiction in dealing with these pictures that are being shown
to us.
Yes,
sir. If I might just show you two more pictures, if I could, and
yes,
maybe
sir.
I can blend them in a little more.
Sure.
This is a picture from approximately the discharge zone of the sidewalk. There's a sidewalk that runs along Route 460 by this discharge zone where anybody can look from the sidewalk down into the stream, and this is in the approximate area of the sidewalk that's up above the discharge zone, looking back at the Buckingham County Courthouse, which you see shown in the picture. And then this is right on down the river from the discharge zone. This is a little stream, not a huge stream. You can wade across it without getting it up to your waist in most places. And yet the proposal is to put not a few hundred gallons of water into it, but up to 14,400,000 gallons a day. A tremendous amount of salt water. And who would control when the water goes in? Casal would control. Who has done the testing so far to say what is in this water or what's not in it? Casal says we've hired independent contractors to do that. Ask them who took the samples that the independent contractors got. They would say, well, the town of Grundy, IDA, had this water testing. And that's true. They got Marshall Miller and Associates to do a testing of the water. And that testing was based on samples that Marshall Miller received from Casal. The DMME has not brought anyone in to test the water. The state of Virginia has not brought anyone in to test the water. What kind of world would it be if someone got charged with driving under the influence of alcohol? The judge said, well, sir, who are you going to bring in to test this blood sample to see if you were under the influence of alcohol? I think there would not be, and I submit to you, there would not be many convictions of people for driving under the influence.
I don't know if you can hear anything I am saying.
Well, we could hear it all. It just was a little bit lower volume.
All right. Maybe that was better.
No.
My wife tells me I'm too loud all the time. She wears earplugs regularly to keep the volume down around me, so I apologize.
That's okay.
Anyway, how many convictions of DUI would you have in Virginia if you let the defendant pick who did the testing and submit the results?
They used to do that. As a former trooper, I'm familiar with the two tests.
Well, I'm a former Commonwealth attorney, so maybe we can share some thoughts on
that. There you go.
Anyway, testing of these waters from, we would submit on behalf of the county, testing of these waters from Buckhannon 1 with samples that are actually taken by the testing firm, and samples of water from VP3, and it can be tested before it's put into the stream, can be done, should be done before any permit is granted. And I would submit to you that Consol should pay the cost of that testing, but the Virginia Marine Commission should hire the independent consultants to do the testing, or it should be done by the State Forensics Laboratory, one of the two. This is not a small matter with the amount of discharge and the pollutants that are alleged to be in this stream. So, we submit to you that there is significant evidence that the VP number 3 mine has been a dumping ground for various pollutants containing PCBs. And as I understand it, that can even be hard to test from just the water coming out of it. Other types of testing need to be done. But these things should be done by the state of Virginia before the state allows any discharge. And yet, we submit that the salt water should not be put into the stream because of its deleterious effect on this stream, and that this company can afford to treat this water. So we beg the protection of the commission in this case. I read you another line out of the letter that I cited earlier, dated October 6, 2006, to Mr. Grab. Page 2 again. Says DEQ listed the headwater sections of Lavisa Fork in the 2006 water quality assessment for violations of the water quality standard for chloride from the Buckhannon No. 1 mine. They were in violation. They're probably in violation right now. And then it goes on to say this proposal from CONSOL will eliminate the discharges which contributed to the in-stream standard violation. Going to bring their pollutants on downstream and release many more of them and clear up their discharge problem. That's what it says in her letter. And where is this discharge zone? This discharge zone is right next to a multi-$100 million federal project, the relocation of Grundy. They're bringing this water over 19 miles downstream. They're bringing this water over 19 miles downstream to release it where it can be viewed from a multi-$100 million flood project in which the Corps of Engineers is moving the town of Grundy from one side of the river to the other. They're moving the town over to this section, which will be the new development project for Grundy. And approximately here where I circled, somewhere right in that area, and I don't represent that to be exactly accurate, is where they propose this discharge. I submit to you what we're going to see when the water goes into the stream is a lot of dead fish. What will the health of the citizens of Buckhannon County be like in the future as a result of this discharge? What this is about is profit. Where does this money go that can be used to treat this water? Does it go for the treatment of the water, or does it go back to the stockholders or the employees of Consolidated Coal Company? Where does it go? I submit to you that if you grant this permit, the citizens of Buckhannon County, the citizens who live just downstream in Kentucky, are going to bear the brunt of this, while Consolidated Coal Company, with its offices in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, takes home a tidy multi-$1 million profit. And then I, as county attorney, as everyone sees that big pipeline going down the railroad track, am going to run into these people. And they're going to say, and pardon my language, but this is how I'm going to hear it, why the hell should I have to put in a septic tank if Consolidated can put that water in the stream? And I'll say, because it's the law. And they'll say, the law depends on how much money you've got. Thank you, gentlemen, very much for taking time to listen to me. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer.
Any questions, Mr. McLaughlin? I would like to make just a couple of comments, if I could, in reference to your very, very, very good presentation. To demonstrate the Marine Resources Commission's dedication to its responsibilities under 28.212.05, and in looking at the project in its totality, I asked Mr. Grab to write Ms. Galinsky back on September 22, 2006. And I would like to quote one paragraph in its totality. The purpose of this letter is to solicit DEQ's written comments on this project for our use in preparing for an upcoming commission consideration. As the state's water quality agency, what is DEQ's opinion on the effluent potential impact on the water quality and other beneficial uses from the Levisa Fork? Will the proposed discharge meet and satisfy all of the state's water quality standards? If this discharge were originating from some other industrial site, for example, other than a mine reclamation project, would the project, as proposed, qualify for a DEQ-DPDES permit? We note your November 15, 2005 letter to Mr. Les Vincent with DMLR The DEQ recommended three permit conditions for permitting this proposed discharge. Does the VPDES permit issued by DMLR on September 15, 2006 contain or achieve the aforementioned recommendations? I mention this because I want it to be explicitly clear to you, sir, and to the citizens of Buckhannon County that we are doing our level best to obtain the best information possible as we come to a conclusion or decision in reference to this permit request. Ms. Galinsky wrote back in totality, paragraph 2 of page 2, DEQ will be actively involved in monitoring the water quality of the LaVisa River watershed and will provide input to both CONSOL and DMLR. DEQ listed the headwater sections of the LaVisa Fork in 2006 water quality assessment for violations of the water quality standard for chloride in Buchanan number 1, as you had mentioned. This proposal from CONSOL will eliminate the discharges which contributed to the in-stream standard violation. In addition, DEQ and DMLR are proposing to conduct a TMDL, total maximum daily load study, which you mentioned under Section 303D of the Clean Water Act, on the entire LaVisa River watershed. Sections of this watershed are impaired for bacteria, aquatic life use, benthic, PCB contamination of fish tissue, and violations of the chloride water quality standard. The TMDL study will provide a comprehensive scientific evaluation of all the inputs to the watershed, both point and non-point sources, and develop load allocations for these activities. This TMDL is due to be completed in 2010. However, the data collection for this study is planned to begin next year. Therefore, the TMDL will be an important verification study, not only for the CONSOL discharge, but also for the discharges in the basin. It is also important to note that the discharge permit for the activity is not a permanent or static document. The permit may be modified to address changing conditions and may be made more restrictive if CONSOL violates either their existing permit, bioassays, benefit surveys, or if the TMDL places a reduction in load on this discharge in relation to other discharges in the basin. My point is simply that I want you to know that we are doing our level best to obtain the best information from the experts possible in this area, and we'll utilize that information that's provided to us in coming to a conclusion. So I don't mention those two excerpts to indicate one way or the other the commission's position, for that would be inappropriate. We have not heard the entire case yet, but I did want you to know that we, I believe, as commissioner, have done our best in an attempt to obtain the best information possible. Thank you.
I respect the commission, and I believe you all will do your duty. Could I submit to you also a copy of a letter that I sent to the Division of Mine Land Reclamation on May the 23rd, 2006, in opposition to this permit being issued?
Absolutely. Mr. Owen will take it and note it into the record, and it will be distributed. Randy, make sure that gets to the commission members prior to March 27th, please.
Sir. And I'd also like to submit a copy of a newspaper article on the front page of the Appalachian News Express from Pikeville, Kentucky, showing some of the thoughts down in Kentucky concerning this. And I would like to submit Mr. Orr's statement plus his resume and copy of the bills that I mentioned earlier. And as I said, I do have a telephone number for him if you would like me to try to call him in the event you all have any questions from him concerning this. I can try to get him on the phone. I think one of his children is going to Iraq, and that's where he is today, is going to visit them before they leave to do their tour duty.
Well, I, quite honestly, as I indicated, Mr. McLaughlin, I did hear both your wonderful presentation as well as Dr. Orr's before the committee. And unless the commission has any questions about his credentials, I can vouch for those based on your testimony and the testimony before House Subcommittee. And we appreciate your presentation very much.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it very much.
The commission will be in recess until about 5 after 6.
Commissioner Bowman?
Yes, sir.
At great risk to my job, we have one remaining speaker in the room. It's Delegate Dan Boylan. He's promised to be brief. Your call, sir.
I don't want to risk my job either. We'll hear from the delegate. Good afternoon, Mr. Delegate.
Delegate. Good afternoon.
I hate to do this, but I'll have to swear you in if you can provide testimony that might be court, part of the court record. Do you, sir, solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you, sir.
I'm not sure that what I've got to say here is something that needs testimony. I just wanted to make a few comments, and one of the things that I wanted to step forward is to thank you, gentlemen, for setting this committee meeting up where the people in Southwest Virginia could participate without having to drive to the East Coast. I feel it's very worthy to do it that way. And I know Senator Puckett and I was very much concerned that we would have to drive across the whole state, and we really thank you for making this convenient to the people from Southwest Virginia.
You're welcome. And for the record, Secretary Bryant has played a part in this as well, so he deserves mm-hmm. credit as well.
I serve the 3rd Legislative District, which Buchanan County is entirely in that district. And, of course, you know, I have two counties here where there's no streams flow into, Buchanan County and Tazewell County. All the streams flow out. And, of course, this is an instance of where one of those counties flows out of Buchanan County into Kentucky. And I feel like when you're in the headwaters of any stream that you should really be concerned about your neighbors that are downstream. And, you know, it's our practice as much as possible to make sure that we treat our neighbors well. I hope that you would consider Buchanan County and consider this discharge in the same way that you would consider a discharge were it going into the James River or the Chesapeake Bay, because you see there we had an area that back in the 60s and 70s everybody said it was more important for all the agricultural areas around the Chesapeake Bay to fertilize all the crops than it was to maintain the bay, and now we're just beginning to start to put a whole lot of money into trying to recover some of the aquatic life that we're seeing disappearing there. And I'm sure you gentlemen are very familiar with that because you work with it daily. And the people in Buchanan County are very concerned. And speaking as their representative, they've called me. I've had email after email after email, and part of this is because in the past, due to the adverse mining that has taken place in Buchanan County, they have been told that it'll get better. Now, you know, since the EPA has come about, since we've had laws that affect the environment, in the last several years, they've already started to see their recovery. Now, when I was a young man, when I went to Kentucky, the Labasa River was black. Now, I don't know if it was black all the time, but it was black when I drove by it. And then, you know, after we seen these things phased in, we started to see a recovery. And this is what you've heard the fishermen talk about, and you've heard the other people talk about. And I think that the people of Buchanan County are really concerned that it's going to turn back the other way. And so, you know, I hope that all the agencies that are concerned here will make sure that the same thing don't happen to the Labasa River to turn it in the opposite direction so that things will happen to it that happened to the Chesapeake Bay. They want to see it, you know, not go downhill again, but to continue to get better. And that's what they want. And on the other hand, they just don't know whether they can trust the agencies or not. They feel like, and they've been told things many times before, and they were told in the days when the rivers was black, well, you just have to give your rivers up because you got to have the jobs here. And we are very concerned about the mining jobs in Buchanan County and the other counties of Southwest Virginia. It's a major part of the economy down here, not only the economy of Southwest Virginia, but the economy of the state, because the coal has to be hauled across railroads, and there's just all kinds of other types of jobs that go along with mining in terms of supply and in terms of all kinds of other monies that's spent relative to coal mining. It's a big industry for Virginia, and it's important. And obviously, what we have to look at as the representatives of the people is to find something that does the people right as well as it maintains the economy in Southwest Virginia. And so Senator Puckett and I, from early on when this issue came up, have kindly said that we thought that there should be some form of treatment, even if it wasn't complete treatment. And we've kindly stayed by that, and we've talked to Consol about it many times, and we've talked with the other people many times. So, you know, I just hope that when you sit down to think about this, think about the Commonwealth, think about if it was in Richmond or if it was in Norfolk or if it was on the Shenandoah River or any other place within the Commonwealth, and treat the Lavassa River the same way that you would treat any other river or any other waterway within the Commonwealth. We just ask fairness. And that's all the people of Buchanan County ask, is they ask for fairness. So I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Delegate. Any questions for the delegate? Thank you, sir.
Again, thank you, gentlemen, for having this.
Thank you, sir. The commission will adjourn until shortly after 6. We'll be in recess.